Welcome to Nightlife, bite-sized travel.
Well, this next chat is for sports fans and travellers. Some people are so sports mad they'll go halfway across the world just to see their favourite sport, maybe to see a Wimbledon final and have strawberries and cream and all that. Or maybe they want to see the magic that's the NBA, the American basketball, at Madison Square Garden or somewhere like that. It's not just destinations, of course, that can be an inspiration for travel. It's the great sports the different countries play. Travel writer Ben Groundboard has written a book called World of Sports, having visited quite a few of these places in his wanderings, and he joins us now. Ben, good evening, and welcome back to Nightlife.
I feel great to be on.
Yeah. It's not just the, well, you'd know as a travel writer, it's not just the great sights that get people travelling across the world, it's also the experiences, isn't it? And for lots of people, you know, a test match at Lord's, Wimbledon, an American football game, baseball at Fenway Park, or anything like this is a travel destination too.
It's huge, and I think in some ways it's actually oddly underrated by Australians as a travel experience. We're such a sporting nation, and we obsess over sport in our homeland.
Yeah. But
although, you know, there are very passionate sports fans who will travel just for a sporting event, I think people tend not to think about sport as a cultural experience when they're traveling. It's just sort of something that you watch on TV when you're at home, or, you know, you go to see your own local team. Whereas to me, sport is such an amazing cultural experience. It's such a great way to kind of tap into local sensibilities and to meet local people, and just to do something sort of completely normal, go to an event that's not, you know, something that's put on for tourists or something that feels forced in any way.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. When I was in Boston years ago, I love talking about all these things we did years ago. When I was in Boston years ago, I went to Fenway Park and managed to get a ticket to see the Boston Red Sox, because it was just a scheduled game. They were playing the Tampa Bay Rays, as I remember. But it was an absolute cultural adventure seeing Americans
baseball.
At play.
Yeah, and baseball's an amazing game, particularly if you like cricket. There's so many, once you actually get there and watch the game, you realize that there's so many similarities. But also it's one of those things where it goes for so long and you don't have to be concentrating all the time.
No.
So you get a chance to chat to the people sitting next to you and to kind of take in all the traditions and to see what each ground, you know, each field has its different snacks or its different beers or, you know, its different songs, and you get all that time to soak all that in and just relax and enjoy.
Look, can we start with the great sport of ice hockey? This is not something that we know about in Australia. I know it's played here, but if you really want to see ice hockey, you've got to go to the home of ice hockey, which is overwhelmingly Canada, where it's the national sport, isn't it? I mean, Canadians are completely hardcore here, aren't they?
They really are. And it's strange because Canadians as a people are incredibly friendly, gentle, kind people. And then you go out to watch their national sport, their national obsession, and it's absolutely brutal. You know, ice hockey, you've got these guys who must be like 100 kilos each, and they skate like figure skaters. They're amazing. You know, they skate backwards, they do pirouettes. They're amazingly agile on these skates, but also brutally violent in some ways. You know, there's this old saying, I went to a fight and a game of ice hockey broke out. It sort of feels a bit like that sometimes when you see what happens on the rink. And, you know, to be honest, it can be fairly baffling the first time you go to see a match, because the puck, which is, you know, the puck moves so fast across the ice. You can be, you know, it's hard enough just to follow what's going on, let alone understand it all properly. But again, it's that deep immersive cultural experience of going to a game with all these Canadians who are very, very friendly in the crowd and will talk to you, will explain what's going on, and just to see it all in the flesh is amazing.
Yes, it is. I only ever saw one once, but as you say, there was a fight in the middle of it too, because it seems to be very, I don't know, it seemed to be almost expected that there would be one.
It is, yeah. I mean, if you leave a game without there having been a fight, people tend to be a little bit disappointed, which is, it's interesting. It's only really in the North American version of the sport that happens. I've been to games in Russia as well and in Scandinavia, and There's not that sort of level of intensity that there is in the North American games. I'm not sure what's going on there.
No, it's an extraordinarily skillful game, as you say, and so fast, almost impossible to see where the puck is unless you're really experienced.
Yeah, suddenly everyone starts cheering, like, whoa, whoa, what happened?
What happened?
Okay, it's a goal. All right, go ahead.
That's right. Yeah. And, well, look, as with all these things, you need to know someone to get tickets to these things, don't you?
Yeah, you do. The particularly in Canada, tickets are very hard to come by. But there's a few websites that actually on-sell tickets that people are unable to use, that members are unable to use. So it's worth Googling and having a look around for that, because you can usually get in.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. It's certainly a thing to be doing. All right, let's go to Mexico. What's worth seeing here if you're in town? There's a thing called Lucha Libre. What's this?
There is, yeah. Popularized in the movie Nacho Libre with Jack Black. I'm not sure if people saw it, but basically it is... It's that crazy professional wrestling, you know, the sort of, I mean, you can call it fake professional wrestling. I would call it fake wrestling, but it's, you know, it's a show. It's a sport and it's a show. It's basically guys and sometimes women as well in very tight spandex pants. And in Lucha Libre, they wear masks, you know, those sort of brightly colored masks that hide their identity. And they get into a ring and they put on a show, you know, they jump off the ropes on top of each other. They slam each other into the ground. There's sort of fake punches and acrobatics and, you know, is it really a sport? I don't know, but it's an amazing show, and people are, particularly in Mexico, get so into it. You know, it's kind of like a pantomime. There's the very easily marked baddies and there's the goodies, and, you know, everyone cheers for the goodies and boos for the baddies, and you know, it's a family event. It's a very safe event, and it's a huge amount of fun.
Where can you go? Is it only in Mexico City, or is it where
no is it's it? All around the country. Mexico City has the most famous arenas that people will tend to go to, but it's all around Mexico and actually, you know, all around Central America and Latin America as well. I went to, in Bolivia, they have the what's called the Flying Cholitas, which is a sort of band of female wrestlers who dress up like in the traditional Bolivian gear and then get into a ring and go to town on each other. So it's and the Bolivians, again, just really get into it. It's such a big event and a family event and yeah, lots and lots of fun.
Yeah. Yes, all right. Lucha Libre in Mexico. Look out for it. Argentina. Now, here, well, it's all about big stakes and all that sort of stuff as well, but... it's also about football. Now, if you're a football fan, what is the must-see experience in Argentina?
For me, I mean, the most amazing football experience I've had in my entire life is going to see a club called the Boca Juniors, who are based in Boca neighborhood of Buenos Aires, which is a very sort of working class area. And they play in a stadium called La Bombonera. This is Diego Maradona's old team. It's a hugely popular team. There's basically... in Buenos Aires, there are two major teams. There's Boca Juniors, who are the working class, and River Plate, who are sort of the silver tails. And to go to see Boca Juniors in their home ground, there's just nothing like it on earth. You know, you talk about Liverpool Football Club is so famous for the Kop, which is one end of the field where all the hardcore fans are, and they all go crazy. But La Bombonera is basically an entire stadium of the Kop, with just people twirling umbrellas and throwing firecrackers and streamers and dancing and jumping and singing. It gets a little bit dangerous sometimes. It's a little bit sketchy in some areas. But there's just no experience like it in the world. I've never seen a crowd go so crazy. I've never seen that sort of atmosphere. I was at a game once that they had to stop in the middle of it because Boca scored a goal and everyone started throwing firecrackers onto the field, and they had to wait for the smoke to clear for about 15 minutes or so. So they just had to stop. It's a riot. It's crazy. And there are
different... Do you feel safe if you're sitting in the middle?
I mean, there are different areas to sit. If you're sitting behind the goals, no, it's not safe at all. And I probably wouldn't recommend people go there. If you're on the side of the pitch, particularly up high, it's a lot more relaxed, and you can kind of, you know, take your hands out of your pockets and feel safe there for a while.
Oh dear. All right.
Yeah, they have huge fences around the field to stop people getting on the fence, and people climb up these fences and use their jumpers to tie themselves up to the top there so they can see better. It's just, yeah.
Let's go to Dubai. Now, it's not exactly the Melbourne Cup, but camel, well, it's yeah, but it is to those in Dubai, of course. Yeah. Camel racing, forget horses. Camel racing's huge, isn't it?
It is huge in many ways, because camel racing is raced over these enormous tracks, which are about 10 kilometers long, the tracks. They sort of stretch out to the horizon. They're circular.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and so people go along to watch, and they do sit in the stands. But what they also do is get in their cars, and particularly the owners of the camels, who are quite often, if not royalty, they're very well off people in Dubai society. And they jump in their luxury vehicles and they drive along next to the track to watch the camels racing along. And the funny thing is that the camels don't actually have jockeys on them.
I thought they did have jockeys.
Well, they used to have jockeys. They used to use small children as jockeys, yeah. but that's not allowed anymore. And so now they actually have these robots, which are kind of these boxes that sit on top of the camels, and they've got an arm that swings around and can hit the camels if they want them to go faster.
You're kidding.
And so, I'm not kidding. And they have people driving along in these cars next to them, controlling the robots.
Controlling the robot?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's an amazing sport.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real experience. And again, that's one of those things where in Dubai, it's not always easy to get in touch with Emirati people because it's such a multicultural society, and it's in some ways tourists and or expats and locals are separated. But if you go to an event like that, everybody's in together.
Can you go along? You can get a ticket.
You can get a ticket to go along. They have regular meets and you can go and sit in the stands. Sometimes they have minibuses that you can hire a seat in the minibus to go around the track and follow the camels as they go around the track.
Follow your camel.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Are the races close? I mean, do they have finishes and such?
Yeah, they can. I mean, yeah, it's a bit like a horse race, really, just over a longer distance. You know, the camels are so well suited to those sort of distances. Mm. So, sometimes it can be close.
All right, Dubai for camel racing. Now, back to Europe. This is very primal. We're going to Spain for the sport of Basque stone lifting.
Yeah, amazing sport. And it has a name in the Basque language, which I won't attempt to pronounce because it's quite difficult. But yeah, stone lifting. Basically, it is as you would imagine. It's a whole bunch of guys who get together, usually men, who get together in town squares and in rural villages.
Yeah.
And they pick up these enormous stones, which can weigh, 150 kilos, 200 kilos, huge boulders. And the idea is that you sort of wrestle this boulder up onto your shoulder. And then a referee calls out and says, yes, you picked it up properly. And then you throw it down on the ground and then you pick it up again. Okay. And you have a certain amount of time. And the idea is that you pick up that stone and heft it onto your shoulder as many times as you can in that time. And again, it's such an amazing spectacle. It's not a sport that I would ever think about getting involved in personally. But it's such a great way to Basque culture can be so, I don't know, opaque and difficult to tap into for people who are just coming into the area and, don't speak any of the Basque language and don't understand the culture. But this is a way to go along and you drink some cider and you eat some sardines and you watch these guys doing their stone lifting and watch the passion that goes into it as well. It's really incredible.
Where do you go to see this?
I mean, mostly you would go out to rural towns, which can be very difficult to know when something is going to be happening in these places. So the best way to do it is there's a Basque cultural festival in San Sebastian, which is sort of the main tourist town of the Basque country, around about July of every year. And part of that is that they have a stone lifting competition. So you can get together in Plaza Trinidad in the old town.
San Sebastian. Yeah.
Exactly. Very easy to get to, very easy to access. You pay a few euros to get in and take your seat in the sort of stone stands around the plaza and watch the big men go at it.
All right, off to England to watch darts. Really?
I don't know what happened with darts. At some point it became this sort of boring pub game that some people would play and enjoy and wasn't really much of an event, to this sort of a major event on the English sporting calendar, particularly the World Darts Championship, which is held at the Ali Pali in, I'm not sure what month it's held in actually, but basically it's become this big thing where everyone books tables, they dress up in fancy dress and they go along and sing and cheer and write things on signs and hold them up for the cameras. There's a little bit of beer consumed as well. And at some point some blokes who are supposedly athletes get up and throw darts at a board and everyone cheers for them.
Ah, dear. All right, yeah. Darts competitions. And then if you want something really exotic, we could go to Mongolia to Nardam. What's that?
Yeah, Nardam is an annual event that they have, which celebrates what the Mongolians call the three manly pursuits, which is archery, horse riding, and wrestling. And these are the things that define a Mongolian. You know, if you're good at one of those things, you have a high place in society, you're well respected. And so Nardam is a celebration of culture, and it's also a celebration of these three sports that people compete in. But people tend not to compete in all of them, they compete in one. The horse races are incredible. They can go for like 30 kilometers. They just ride off into the distance and they come back in a few hours' time and you see who's won. the wrestling, they wear these little leather underpants and they get all oiled up and wrap their arms around each other and stick their hands in each other's pants and try to wrestle each other to the ground. The archery, everyone's dressed in traditional costume. It's just, you know, again, it's one of those ways to observe and to even participate in Mongol culture, Mongolian culture, in a way that the rest of the year would be very difficult.
There you go. You see, sport as a means to travel and see and understand cultures. It's, I think, as Ben said, probably not recognised as much as it should be. Ben, terrific to talk to you and about your book called World of Sports. Ben Groundwater has been our guest. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.